Good morning and welcome to the roundtable for this Friday, the 15th of July. Very nice to have you with us. Unfortunately, we have more tragic news to talk about and another terrorist attack to discuss this morning, and we will do that. But as we do that, we will also introduce our panel and invite you to join us with your comments and thoughts on all of the topics that we discussed this morning. We have a very eclectic list of topics this morning, sort of all over. So that's good. Let me begin by welcoming WAMC's Alan Shartok. Good morning, sir.
Good morning, Big Joe. Wonderful to be here. Great, beautiful day.
It is. It is. By the way, nice jacket. I don't know.
Oh, you like it?
Yeah, it's very nice. Yeah, you look great. It was. It's a far cry from yesterday. It's very, very, very nice. Rosemary Armeo is here, director of the journalism program at the University at Albany. Good morning.
Good morning.
How are you?
Good.
Excellent. And, Barbara Smith joins us, author and activist, and always a pleasure to have Barbara on the program. I get you twice in a week. We're very lucky. Thank you very much for being with us.
Thank you. Good morning.
Good morning. All right. So let us start with obviously what is happening and the story that is that broke around 6 o'clock our time. At least 84 are killed in France in Nice, which is on the east coast of France. Calamity, as it's there's a couple things to note about this. It is France's third major attack in under 2 years, in about 19 months. The terrorist attack occurred during the annual Bastille Day fireworks on a seaside promenade on Thursday. And the what we know is that a truck went into a large crowd of people. There are many, many who are injured, and at least 84 people killed after the truck plowed into the crowd. The death toll has risen and continues to go up. The latest number, as I mentioned, is 84. President Hollande, François Hollande, said that we will not give in to the terrorist threat. The times have changed, and France is going to have to live with terrorism. And I guess that's where I want to begin this morning, of that idea of living with terrorism.
It's something that other countries have done. Algeria, Israel have learned to do this. And he's right. I don't think we needed this newest attack to show us that, you can't keep functioning. You can't stop functioning. You have to keep on going on, but learn from it. And there are lessons from this one, too. How did that truck get through the safety, the passageway? They were stopped at one point. The police finally did shoot it. There were lots of police at that event, and it took a long time to stop this truck. That's something to look at. Methods have to change, too.
And also what was in the truck.
What was in the truck, too. That man had, that terrorist had several methods he planned to kill people with. And the other thing to remember is that this is not some new, highly inventive, creative way to kill people. It's been a method that's been touted by terrorist groups for at least 10 years now. So the problem was that no one expected it in Nice. They were ready for it at the soccer games earlier this month, and nothing happened there. And the terrorists like stuck around and went to Nice, where no one expected it. You have to expect it everywhere, I think.
And of course, this was a celebration.
A celebration of independence and freedom too. Let's not forget the symbolism of that day. They know about 9/11 was that's a day that they constantly use now for a new terrorist attack. Symbols important to freedom and Western civilization are under attack.
And Alan, I want to get to you on this. I just real quick. The other thing here too is that, just to put this into some perspective, because I mentioned the number of attacks in just 19 months, but the French president said that there was going to be they've been under a nationwide state of emergency, which they were going to lift on July 26th, and now of course with this that will not be lifted. Of course, Alan, your take on this.
Well, if you're the president of France, what are you going to do? You do what we do here. You order the flags flown at half-mast. You extend the state of emergency for another 3 months. You talk about how, and I think the best thing he's saying here is that, you know, you, and Rosemary mentions it, you have to live with it, because Israel lives with it to some degree. We live with it. It is going to happen in this country. I have no doubt about that. It's just a matter of when. And then the question is, what do we trade for it? Are we going to become basically a nation that starts to put so many rules in place that we lose all of our civil liberties, which is what I think they want? And by the way, I know you're going to introduce this. Somebody will. But this, of course, is going to help Donald Trump.
Yes.
And it's really unfortunate. It's almost as if they're thinking, the terrorists, and that if Trump gets elected, it will just add to the chaos, and that's what they want, because surely they know they're helping him.
Not to get away from that, but also to... In the coverage that I saw on this, that the immediate concern was mostly by officials in this country, but worldwide, was the two conventions, one in Philadelphia, one in Cincinnati, the Democratic and the Republican conventions, and the safety of those events, and also the big one, the Olympics. And how do you, of living with that terrorism, but also... knowing that that's a great possibility, and what you do in that situation. I mean, obviously, you just can't cancel the events, but what do you do?
Well, it's obvious there's nothing to do. It's pretty obvious, you know, that's the effectiveness of terrorism. So this concept of, like, they have to accept the fact that they have to learn to live with it, and I would say, unless, of course, you have to die with it. And the thing is that I just find the situation... completely, just completely despicable, so upsetting. People always, you know, like, one can say that if one doesn't think it's going to actually happen right on their doorstep to them. And I know our listeners know this, but Bastille Day is like our 4th of July. It is absolutely parallel to our 4th of July. So imagine the shock and the just emotional reactions such a thing happened on the 4th of July.
Yeah, you know, Barbara, Mark Volpe, in our conversation with him at Tanglewood, said that you know, if it was going to happen, it's going to happen. You know, they are responsible on the Esplanade. Joe, do you remember how many people come out to the Esplanade on July 4th?
Half a million or whatever?
Half a million people. And he said there are cops all around, there are cops up and down. I remember the Obama, when was Denver? Was that 8 years ago?
That was in 2008, That was, I watched the whole thing. As soon as I knew that it was going to be in that kind of open setting, I was absolutely terrified of what might happen and was so relieved.
I was there.
Afterwards.
I was there, and I have to tell you, it took hours to get into that final stadium, hours. They checked everybody up and down and in and out. You know, there are dogs there. There are dogs all around. They have them at Tanglewood. They have them all around in order to make sure that this kind of thing doesn't happen. So what are we going to become? That, I guess, is your point. There's nothing you can do about it except do all of these protections that we're hearing about.
And then perhaps trying to change the dynamics of world relations so that... I don't know if that ship has sailed already, but the thing is, the difference between Trump's response and Hillary Clinton's response, night and day.
Yeah, and we'll talk about that.
How do you figure? Could you go a little?
Go ahead.
Okay.
How do you see the difference?
Barbara, could you go a little further? Yeah.
Oh, well, because from what I mean, these are just sound bites that I heard, you know, this morning about their responses. But the thing is, it seems like Hillary, as generally is the case, is using her brain. And is thinking about, you know, consciously, also her great experience, to talk about what's possible. Trump, on the other hand, is just firing off his mouth, and so is his surrogate, Newt Gingrich. So, as I said, I think they're very different responses. Trump wants to have Congress declare war.
Yep.
And he agrees with the idea of all Muslims having to face a loyalty test. So, those are very different responses.
I think he knows, as Alan said earlier, that anytime there are one of these attacks, he wins. I have a former friend, a coworker, who is a Trump supporter, who sent me a message this morning that said, "You realize Trump won the election last night." And he meant, of course, another terrorist attack. And it's maddening because the reality is the Obama policy of strikes against ISIS actually is working territorially. They have lost ground. They have lost clout. They have lost power on the ground in the Middle East, which is where they want to establish themselves. And this world terror that's going out is a second tactic to get around that, to keep them relevant when they're not winning at home. And for the West to see this as a bad thing, as of ineffectiveness, is just kind of maddening. Who would do better? Trump? He's going to declare war. Where's he going to go? Where's he going to bomb? He's going to bomb the Muslim neighborhoods of Paris? Is that what he's going to do?
It's going to be a very short war.
Well, here's the statement. Here's the statement that he made, and I just want you to react to this. You know, in the old days, we would have uniforms. You knew what you were fighting. We are allowing people in our country who we have no idea where they are, where they're from, who they are. They have no paperwork. They have no documentations in many cases. Jeez. We have to be tough. I would. This is war. If you look at it, this is war coming from all different parts.
So we have a bombing in Nice. What are we going to do, like kill a few people in Detroit because they're Muslims? Would that take care of the problem?
I don't think he'd have any problems with that. He'd have no problems with that.
The man has no idea of the Constitution, and it is something that makes you cry. How would he operate as president? Would he go ahead and do things that are anti-constitutional and then have an attorney general in office who's Chris Christie or
Rudy
one of
Giuliani.
His guys?
one of these weirdos
who would not also obey the Constitution? She admitted she was wrong, but Ruth Bader Ginsburg was right to be really, really worried about this guy.
We'll also just say that Secretary Clinton said that she feels that greater intelligence gathering is needed to fight terror groups. She dismissed the presumptive Republican nominee's concern about the potential of terrorists infiltrating the U.S. by posing as Syrian refugees.
As posing as six-year-olds?
Yeah, it's
we're
crazy.
At war against radical jihadists who use Islam to recruit and radicalize others in order to pursue their evil agenda. It's not so important what we call these people as what we do about them. And I think to our success in getting Osama bin Laden, it was important that we built the case, we got the information, and the president ordered the raid.
Yes.
Yeah. Joe, a couple of things are going on that we ought to put into the mix. Number one, some of the very top Muslim clerics in the world are issuing edicts and saying that, you know, quoting Mohammed and saying, and you just heard it on the air, saying anybody who kills, that's the worst thing that you can do. Because a lot of people have been waiting for this to happen, you know, for Muslim leaders to speak out in large numbers, and the most important Muslim leaders to say, you may not do this kind of thing, because it shows these guys up for the phonies that they really are.
Yeah, I think that's happened all along, not in the volume that we in the West want to hear. It happened especially last month after bombings in the holy city of Medina. I'm curious at why there's so little terrorism in Putin's countries, in places where he has influence. It's the West that's under the attack.
Well, simple. I think
what's
it's simple.
What's simple
he's,
about it?
Much more... Well, I think he's much more of a tough guy than our civil liberties assurances in this country are. And that is the great problem here, because there will be people who want that to be the case.
Well, then that's an argument for Trump. Alan, you're making an argument for Trump. If he's Putin-like, we'll be safer.
Rosemary, I prefer you didn't put words in my mouth. I am not making an argument for Putin or for Trump. I'm just simply saying, you asked the question, I'm telling you why. Because Putin has deprived people of their civil liberties. I'm not in favor of it. I'm just simply telling you that's what happens.
I didn't intend it as attack. I intended it as a clarifying question. If that's true, then what you're saying is that Putin's method, which is the one that Trump espouses, is effective and we should consider it.
I'm not. And I got to tell you, I'm not espousing it at all. In fact, I'm warning about it, because I think what it means is that if we go too far, we lose what makes this country great. But that is the reality. Hitler did it. I'm not endorsing Hitler. That's for sure. You know, if you opened your mouth, you were gone.
I don't think that's why Russia and former Soviets are not under attack. I think that there are other reasons for that. It's much more
like what?
It's much more effective propaganda-wise for ISIS and Al Qaeda to attack Western countries. The U.S. is the target.
We have to go to a break in just a second, so I just want to remind people that we will take your letters. We'll go to those in a moment. Roundtable at WAMC.org, roundtable at WAMC.org, and we'll continue our discussion on this and other topics. And again, we welcome your letters. Rosemary Armeo, Alan Chartok, and Barbara Smith, which with us this morning. We'll be back. Good morning. Welcome back to the Roundtable panel for this Friday, the 15th of July. Very nice to have you with us. Have you ever thought, hey, what is it like to be in that room when the panel happens? Well, you can experience it. You can join us on Wednesday, this coming Wednesday, which I will actually get the date in front of me so I know what it is. But it's the 20th of July. We're going to be doing a live Roundtable panel from the Linda, which is our performing arts space right across the street here on Central Avenue in Albany, New York. If you would like to join us, if you don't have tickets already, we gave them away during the fund drive, but if you would like to join us, you can still do that. All you have to do is go on our website, WAMC.org, and you can pledge, and for $100, we'll get a pair of seats. By the way, all of that money will go into the lockbox for the next fund drive, but you can see Rosemary, you'll be there.
Yes.
Alan, of course, you'll be there. Okay,
I got a letter today, Joe, asking me if I would wear my jacket.
Oh, the jacket you wore yesterday.
See it.
And have you?
Yeah.
Yeah. Are you going to do that?
Why don't you just bring it on a hanger?
No.
Yeah, just put it on display.
Yeah,
I didn't see it,
but I heard about it.
We got more mail on that than anything we've ever gotten. Plus,
what did Roselle say to you when you got home and she saw you, Alan?
She's a fashion person, you know, so she thought it was great.
Is it Madras?
You always have
yes.
to
just
play. You always have to test the limits. Right. But we also heard from two people who were very, very strict and said this is not the kind of thing that should be discussed on the round table.
Well, they're technically correct.
Well.
Terrorism in France.
No,
we were having
fun at the beginning of the show, and I was sort of kind of hard not to talk about the plaid elephant in the room.
Under no circumstance.
So, Barbara, you will be there as well.
Yes.
And so it's our panel all-stars. Rich is going to be there. Michael will be there. And it'll be great. We'll have a really good time. Breakfast will be served. You show up at 8:30. The show goes on at 9. We'll be there till 10. We'll stay after. We'll talk. It'll be a great time. So we did this
free
once
parking.
Before.
Don't
we had
forget
a,
that.
That's right. Free parking in the lot. It's all very easy. We would love to have you come join us. All you have to do is go to WAMC.org. It's in the pull-down menu, on the drop-down menu is what they call it, the drop-down menu. And you'll see live the panel live at the Linda. Also, you can just call us at 800-323-9262, and you can get in on that as well. So we invite you. We would love to have you. We have some seats for you, so come on over. It's going to be a nice group. We have a nice-sized group now, but we can make it a little bit bigger, and that'd be awesome. So just keep that in mind.
Cool.
We would love to have you do that. All right. So let's go to some letters and then we'll move on to some other stuff because, of course, the events in France and Nice caused Donald Trump to cancel his announcement where he was expected, widely assumed, to announce that Mike Pence, the governor of Indiana, would be his choice for vice president in a press conference in New York. That has now been canceled, and it, to my knowledge, has not yet been rescheduled, so we'll see. But we want to get to that and talk a little bit about Mike Pence, but I know we have a lot of letters, too, so we'll start there, Alan.
Oh, we do, and Joe, I just want to say, does anybody smell a rat here? I suspect, you know, that they may have found something in their vetting process. I don't know.
We were just talking about that during the break, too. It's you wonder if that's still going to be the choice.
I'm not even sure that they found anything, Alan. I think he just likes drawing it out. It's more suspense. Mm. I didn't make my final all this stuff.
Like The Bachelor.
Yeah, like The Bachelorette. Yeah.
Or The Apprentice.
Okay. Yeah, or The Apprentice, yeah.
We've had several letters, or at least two, in response to Alan's comments that there's nothing we can do about the rise of terrorism. I would say, how about the USA and our Western allies? Stop trying to colonize the Middle East. They don't want our capitalist culture. They don't want our interference. The West needs to turn its attention to taking care of itself and the planet anyway. Imperialism has had a good run, but no one wants it anymore, including ethical, hardworking Americans. And we had another one down here.
Yeah, it's significant that the perpetrator in Nice was a Tunisian living in Paris. And Tunisia and Northern Africa has had more than its share of colonization from the French. Horrible wars of independence. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, here's one that I really don't like. I'm sorry. I'm going to announce that in the beginning. Probably shouldn't read it, but I'm going to read it anyway, just because it does show the breadth of the discussion that's going on. But again, I really don't like it. I'm sorry to hear of this terrible attack. This might be the wrong time, but the French and Europe in general had it coming. They spent the last 20 years acting like this great human rights campaigner and constantly lecturing and singling out Israel about human rights like there is no other issues in the world. They were being influenced by the 25 useless Muslim countries and their own very stupid French Muslim population. This is the Muslim way of saying merci, merci. Hope the French wake up. Very native for a long time. Nobody deserved it. And I really take great issue to David Kaye's letter. Nobody deserved it. You may make the point that the earlier letter made, but to say they deserved it, boy, that's really...
I got a lecture yesterday about my very bad timing talking about my great worry about police tactics and our movement towards a police state in the United States at a time when men were dead in Dallas. And my critic was saying that you may be right, but you were wrong to talk about it then. And that's the problem with this letter. There are some points in there that should be discussed. I think colonialism plays a huge role in what's happening right now. But you don't do it in the day when we've seen baby carriages rolled over by a truck. You just can't do it.
Yeah. I mean, that was one.
Our friends.
Go ahead, Alan.
Yeah. Go ahead.
I was just going to say that, that was one of the things that's, all of these attacks are tragic, but, there's so many children involved in that attack, and it was really horrible to watch.
It's just bad. Phoebe writes, how many Syrian refugees went to Russia? That's why they have no attacks. No, I think Russia's a police state.
No,
horrible.
Let's try to pull this back now. Okay.
Go ahead.
Well, the thing is that writer is assuming that all the terrorism is being done by Syrians.
Yeah.
That's
not crazy.
Accurate.
No. And in fact, the Soviet Union, the former Soviet Union, is filled. The countries that remain there are filled with pockets of Muslims who have been long repressed by first the Soviets and now the Russian administration. So if there's any sort of resentment building up that would explode into violence, it should be in that area. That's why it's so remarkable that it isn't happening there.
Judy writes, I think he canceled.
Go ahead.
I was going to say, could we get back to those two letters? One was about colonialism and imperialism. The other one was about France asserting human rights criticisms against Israel. Which one of those letters did you think was not appropriate at this time? Both of them, or
it wasn't the non-appropriateness. The line that I really got me and got me bad was that they deserved it.
Yeah, that I agree. That's the part.
Anything
else is on the table around here, although I may disagree with some of it.
And I don't think they're wrong, Barbara. I think there's a point. I think they made very good points in it. It is. You can almost understand it. But you can't make that argument now. You won't be heard.
But you also can't say people deserve to be slaughtered.
Right.
That's the problem.
That's my point.
If you can say that foreign policy pronouncements, their ideology around human rights and Israel, et cetera, that you might expect not should expect, but you might expect that there would be negativity and retaliation. That's one thing. To say
correct.
That they deserved it is a whole other level of immorality.
Well, that was exactly. Yeah, and me too, and Rosemary too, and I'm sure.
Yeah, we all agree on that. Yeah. I really
had a tough time reading the letter. I read it because I thought it was important that in this dialogue that we have every morning, people know there are people who think that.
Yeah,
that's all.
I mean, and it's. Go ahead.
Judy writes, I think Trump canceled his announcer because his pick would be overshadowed by the latest attack. He wants the spotlight on him. Okay, and remember, folks, I don't want any links. I'm getting links, and I don't want them. Okay, and Mary says, here's how you could fill the lockbox. Raffle off the jacket. Hi. I've yet to see a view of the political economic landscape from a global perspective. Australia and Austria have cliffhanger votes. As South America has current instability, we have Trump. Britain has Brexit. Greece, Italy, and Spain are under austerity measures. People all over the world are in turmoil and agitating. What's the panel's thoughts on what they're on this and their thoughts for the future? We'll get a full program on that sometime. I'm sure. Let's see. Ethan says, who are we trying to fool, ourselves? Democrats, especially specifically Hillary Clinton, have a lot to do with the instability in the Middle East. Hillary's interventionist policies in Honduras, Libya, etc., are a big part of this problem. We hardly acknowledge the horrors of the war in Yemen, thanks to Hillary's friends, the Saudis. We need a paradigm shift. Democrats need to look to the Green Party platform that stands for love, peace, and green energy, the end of police brutality, getting money out of politics, etc. You know, thank you, and that's from Lisa. I'm going to tell you something. I think all of a sudden, the viewpoint that Hillary is a centrist and a tough guy turns around. Up to now, the left and the party have been very angry about it and the rest. But I think now she is somebody who is seen as a tough person who will be able to step up and handle some of this stuff in the same way in Indira Gandhi, in the same way, you know, so many wonderful but tough women have been able to do. I suspect now, with all of this going on, that Hillary becomes more attractive to a lot of voters. Rosemary, what do you think about that?
I'm troubled by polls that show people think that Trump is the person better able to handle terrorist attacks. I'm not sure where that comes from, and you're right, progressives.
Well, it's that go-get-em attitude, right? We're going to go get them.
We're going to bomb them, you know. Hillary is both a diplomat, a career diplomat, and she's a harder line than Obama and certainly the progressive wing of the party. I'm not really in favor of war. I think her Iraq vote, her vote in favor of going to war in Iraq did lead to the destabilization of the region. So she's not perfect, but I don't want Donald Trump in there. What can I say?
Well, see, that's why I said what I did earlier in our show today, because I do not support Hillary, as you know.
Yes.
But it's a contrast. It's a contrast between a megalomaniac and someone who at least is fact-based in how they come to conclusions.
Elections are about choices. And so to bring up the Green Party, that's a choice, and it certainly sounds good. I think they're on the right of everything. But my thought process is no third party has ever won in the United States, and I'm not throwing my vote away at this important time.
We have to take a break.
Well, I think you're right about that,
We're going to take a break. When we come back, we will I will simply come back and say the words Mike Pence, and then you all can go from there. All right. We'll be back right after this.
Support for WMC comes from the ADK Market, Key, New York. Country store featuring natural foods, local and specialty products, fresh baked goods, artisanal beer, and everyday groceries. ADKmarket.com. George Heigl, Cowen's representative. Available for estate, trust, and full collection evaluations and consultations in the Capital Region. 518-396-7974. Third Eye Associates Limited, life planning, transition planning, and wealth management strategies, registered investment advisors with offices in New York City, Washington, D.C., and the Hudson Valley, thirdeyeassociates.com. and Jeremiah Productions, presenting Second Coming, a play with music about the Shaker ministry of Mother Ann Lee, tonight, tomorrow, and Sunday, and July 22nd through 24th at the Shaker Meeting House in Colony. SecondComingPlay.com.
Good morning. Welcome back to the Roundtable. Alan Chartok, Rosemary Armeo, and Barbara Smith making up the group this morning. As promised, Mike Pence. Go, Rosemary.
Oh, me first. I want to hear Barbara.
Okay,
oh,
Barbara, go.
Good.
Just the right-wing zealot. That's all. I mean, yeah. What can we say?
How do we know about him? He came on in the national stage when Indiana voted for a ridiculous, wrongly named religious freedom bill that basically said if you don't like gay people, you don't have to cater to them as a business. He is backward, ugly. And I don't mean in the physical sense.
No,
he is just a horrible, horrible choice.
The heart of darkness, you know, it's just...
Yeah, heart of darkness, that what she said.
Right, and the thing is that that's a perfect person for Trump, perfect, just perfect.
Well, the reason he's there, obviously, we have to put ourselves into their shoes, is that number one, they obviously want Indiana. Very important to him. It's how we got Mr. Potato Head as the vice presidential nominee a few years back.
Well, that's interesting. That's an interesting point, Alan. I had not thought of that.
Okay, that's number one. Number two, he needs the Republican Party right now. And this is an assurance that he is giving them, that he's showing them some deference to their kind of guy. Look at the ugly platform that they've already come out with, which is, as Barbara just mentioned,
which he personifies, right?
Yeah, that's right. So that's why this choice. But my bet is that I hear some dissonance here that might be giving them a little bit of a problem. I don't think they want to make a mistake right now. Sorry.
Well, the convention starts Monday, so you figure a decision has to come pretty soon, number one. But number two is that here was a governor who endorsed Ted Cruz. So is it right. going to be, you know, are there, we have sure. heard from, I think, early on when, what?
That's not a negative. His endorsement, if you remember, was incredibly, like, laid back.
Very.
It was like,
that's
I love
true.
Donald Trump for all the following reasons, but I'm supporting, you know, low fours, I'm supporting. And Cruz himself needs to come back in. Trump is after Cruz himself. So I don't see that as a negative.
Cruz is speaking at the convention.
So what
yes,
though,
he
right?
is.
But I brought it up because originally Donald Trump said that he wanted someone who was with him from the beginning, and with the exception of Chris Christie, who has been very loyal to him throughout the process, and this is to Alan's point of if you wonder now with the delay in the message and so forth, if there isn't some dissonance. That was my point.
Now Cindy checks in and she says, "Hi, Alan. Do you think that perhaps Trump's decisions to delay announcing his VP is an effort to show that he has an empathetic side to him? Maybe he's trying to make up for this terrible, inhuman, self-important response to the tragedy in Orlando." Hey, Cindy, anything is possible, but I doubt it.
I think he knew it would be overshadowed.
Yeah, I don't think he cares at all about being seen as a humane individual.
I mean, it's.
I don't think that's.
But that's
all
not to take it away. I mean, it's the
him.
Right thing to do.
He wants to be known as a strong man bully. He really does.
He is succeeding in that.
That's his brand.
Go ahead, Alan.
And of course, we get more mail about our music than anything else. And today's no different. Denise writes, "Alan, any thought ever given to the news of the day when the music is being chosen that it was certainly the right day to play the Mosse, not some generic rock tune?" And that's from Denise.
No, that's not the point. But okay, go ahead.
No, it isn't really the point. And then just because it's an important thing and we're running out of time, R.B. Ginsburg has spoken of regret for her comments on Donald Trump. A sitting Supreme Court judge is supposed to remain neutral on political races. What I believe led to her comment on Trump is the absolute absurdity that Donald Trump is the presumptive Republican nominee. Well, you know what the great Roselle said this morning? Yes, she apologized. She probably should have. But the fact of the matter is, now she can have her cake and eat it. It's good. I mean, and that was not a negative comment about the judge. It was basically that when democracy is threatened, and many of us believe it is being threatened
right
now.
Oh, it's seriously threatened.
Then people have to do extraordinary things. And I think Ruth Bader Ginsburg did that.
Her tactic was like a lawyer who puts out a statement and immediately says, I withdraw it when there's an objection. It's still there. The jury is still heard it.
I love that.
And the Washington Post has a wonderful editorial by their chief editorial writer, ran yesterday, about the Trump derangement syndrome, that if he gets in, you're going to see more people like Ruth Bader Ginsburg who should be quiet, know they should be quiet, and they cannot contain it. I believe I already have that syndrome.
But I like the idea that Ruth Bader Ginsburg did something strategic, that it wasn't just,
popping off.
The incredible attorney she is, you know. I'd love that.
Yeah. Anonymous checked in and said on Russian terrorism, there have been many attacks on Russia, including a bombing of an airport and a 224 killed on Egypt Air just last year. It's a good point. I think it was important for us to read that letter.
I'm sorry, what was that again?
In other words, Russia has been attacked by the miscreants, including 224 people on an Egyptian airline.
They weren't in Moscow, though. It's not in their home territory.
Well, it's the difference, but they're still under attack. No?
I think it's. I think that's really different. I think Egypt Air and the Gaza attack did have to do with the war in Syria and Russia getting involved. Where is France? Why is France getting attacked?
Anne sent something in it. I sort of agree with Rosemary that voting for a third-party candidate is throwing away a vote. But the big problem is no one covers the third-party candidates like Trump and Clinton have been covered. I'm glad you wrote this, Anne, because I'm going to talk to you about this. Historically, third-party candidates have never, in capital letters, gotten fair coverage. Maybe if we all knew more, heard them more, we could have a better overall choice. And Anne, I wonder if you will send me an apology letter because of our hour-long, an hour-long by, you know, WAMC discussion with Jill Stein. I'm sure you will. I'm sure it's just an oversight, and you'll get to it, okay?
But what about the debate? Should they be in the debate? I mean, I think that's a larger point of should the third-party candidates be a part of the debate? Should the third-party candidates be a part of the discussions?
What do you think?
I think no, okay? I want to stand up for the media for once. Do you remember the rent is too damn high? And that guy hijacked all that time out of our gubernatorial election coverage debates a few years ago. It's the job of the media, if they do it well, to figure out how much coverage each candidate gets. And there was a lot of complaints from the Bernie Sanders camp that he wasn't getting coverage at first. Crazy when you looked at it, except for TV, because he was everywhere on the cover of every magazine. But no, it isn't up to the media to delegate a certain amount of time to every candidate. You get the attention on your own merits, and then the media pays attention to you. And the opposite of that is Trump. Why is he getting so much coverage? He doesn't deserve it. That's the media miscalculating the other way.
I don't agree with you. I mean, I think he's getting it because if you were the head of CNN, you'd be giving it to him, too, because you would know that that's the way to get listeners. And you're following the people who want him who want to see him. Even though they may think he's a freak, they want to see him, and you give them what they want. And that's what newspaper editors and what CNN people have always done, and which they continue to do.
So Jill Stein ought to get out there and start making racist, misogynistic comments. We'll start covering them. Is that what you mean?
Now you know it's not what I mean.
I want you to clarify.
Well, you see,
I've clarified.
All right, you do that at 9:59. So now what do we do?
You take a shot. You take a shot. You go away.
All right, we are we're out of time. Perhaps not a moment too soon. So my thanks to Alan and to Rosemary and to Barbara. Thank you all very much. We'll be back on Monday. A reminder, you can see us live on Wednesday, the 20th, Roundtable. Just go to WAMC.org for more information. We'll continue with the Roundtable after this short break.